Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. And, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord, walk in fellowship with Him, and no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what happens, as we had again reminded yesterday of the tremendous brevity of life, we thank God that we can draw comfort from the Lord and from that knowledge of who He is and where we're going. And we continue to pray for Irene and Brian and all the family. The God of all comfort and all grace will indeed provide comfort. Well, we're going to continue our studies in the marks or birthmarks of the born again. In 1 John, we have two more to look at. There are actually six references to the word born of God or born of Him. One of them refers a repetition of the second one. You have this in chapter 5, verse 18. Now, the last two are found here in chapter 5 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 to 3. We're looking at the phrase born of Him or born of God. And the first one we looked at was in chapter 2, verse 29, and it's the mark of spiritual deportment or conduct. The second one is the mark of spiritual desire. That is, person who is born of God does not live in the practice of sin. Then Tuesday night we looked at the mark of spiritual distinction. This is seen in chapter 4, verse 7. The fact that when we are born of God, we will love one another. We will love even those who are difficult, very difficult to get along with. We will love in spite of the fact that we may have differences of opinion. But the love of Christ, Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 5, he says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There is a capacity to love and to forgive, no matter what the circumstances or difficulties we may run into with each other. That's a mark of spiritual distinction. The Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And this is important. And then, of course, today we're going to be looking at the mark of spiritual discernment. Now, we touched on this in the first study, but in chapter 5, verse 1, I'm reading, as you know, from the New King James. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. The mark of spiritual discernment. This is a very important thing, because John was writing to Christians there were false teachers coming in, and they were bringing all kinds of funny ideas and things that were not from the Lord. And so one of the things was that they were denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They were denying, and he says back in chapter 2, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And he refers to him as Antichrist in chapter 2, verse 23. He says again, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Now, this is important, because one of the things that we face today is that there is a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, is born of God. But when you study the whole segment of this book, you will find that he's talking about the whole person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, who He is. And I say this, and I make no apologies to say it. If somebody comes to you, or you hear somebody preaching, and they're wrong about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're wrong. I make no apologies for saying that, because it's true. The Bible is very clear. And in being around over the last few weeks, we've personally been discussing, talking about the beliefs of some of the cults that come around. And that you'll find that one of the marks of a false cult is a denial of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a conversation or you read any literature on the cults, if you've had a conversation with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I have, I make it a point, if I can, to witness to them. When they come to my house, I will meet them and I will talk with them. I never try to be rude to them. I simply say, now, before you want to talk, let me tell you what I believe, what my faith is, and I share the gospel with them. And they, by the time I'm starting to talk about this, they're starting to back up and look at one another. And they said, no, we don't really think it's profitable for us to come to you for a Bible study or whatever. But I want them to know that what I believe and give them the gospel. And I've confronted some of them at some time or the other. I said, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And of course they haven't. But what do they believe about the Lord Jesus? Well, they believe that he's not God. They believe that he is Michael the Archangel. He was Michael the Archangel before he came to earth. And, so they deny the deity of Christ. The Mormons. I know there is a Mormon, in New Providence. There's a group there. But you know what they believe about the Lord Jesus? That Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. Okay? They can't. You see, this is what they believe. And Lucifer became the bad one, and Jesus was the good one. And, this is some of the beliefs. So what do people believe about Christ? John is saying this. This is not just the denial that he was the Messiah. This is more than that. When you study all of it together, they were denying that Jesus came in the flesh. John says that if you go up into chapter 4. They denied the incarnation of Christ, the fact that he was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he came into the world through the miracle of the virgin birth, and that he became man, the Word became flesh, John 1 and 12. They deny this. They taught that Jesus was born and died as a man. They said that the Christ, this was the teachings of that day, the Christ came upon him at his baptism and left him before he went to the cross. That's why John is saying, he's very clear and he's bringing this out. And of course, you have variations of this teaching in some of the cults that you will meet. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied that the man Jesus and the eternal Son were one and the same person. They denied this. You know, we have to be careful. There are some people who deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are some groups who dethrone him. They deny him outright, and there are others who dethrone him. And of course, even in the Christian church, you have people who deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny his vicarious death, and so on. And so there is the denial. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, and I'm not going to spend any time on this morning, but John wrote to the believers, he said in chapter 2, verse 26, he said, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to seduce you, those who are trying to deceive you. Beware of them. One of the marks of the last days in which we're living is deception. And there is a lot of deception, even in the Christian church. The cardinal doctrines of the Word of God are being watered down. I don't know about you, but you know, if you're going to drink apple juice, you want to drink it as it is. If you put ice in, just say you put some ice in and you leave it for a while and the ice melts, you've got what? Watered down. And you put it to your mouth, you just want to throw it out. It's watered down. But this is what we're getting today about the work of the Lord Jesus, about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're getting, many times, it's watered down or there is error mixed in with it. So we have to understand and be careful of what we are hearing. This is why it's so good to be able to know the Lord and to know His Word. And so, deception is a mark of the last days and, of course, false cults. Paul said to Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days or the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits or deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. And he goes on to describe it. And I believe the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the rapture of the church, the more you're going to see this. And you are seeing it. And of course, behind all of this is the devil. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:44, he said to the very religious leaders, he said, you are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil. And he referred to him as the father of what? What is the term he uses? The father of what? Lies. The father of lies. And so there is the mark of spiritual discernment. There's the problem of false doctrine. Then, of course, you have the Lord Jesus tells us how we can discern this, how we can overcome, how we can understand truth from error. Go back just for a moment to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 1 John. Listen to the exhortation he says here. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now notice what he says in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, that's a small s, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and this incorporates all of who he is of God. But, he says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist or the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and now is already in the world. Now, here's the key, verse 4. He says, you are of God, little children, little born ones, and have overcome them because greater, say it, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's the he that's in us? Christ indwelling us in the Holy Spirit. You see? Greater is he who is in you. Praise God for that. Praise God. You know, I mentioned this the first Sunday I was here, I think it was, or maybe it was, I don't know, anyway. The young man that came to faith in Christ, and he didn't know anything about the scriptures. I told you about this many years ago in Nassau. And he was confronted by a Jehovah's Witness. And he really did not know the scriptures. He really had no clue. He was not brought up in a Christian home. He did not go to Sunday school. And so he really didn't learn the Word of God, as many of our children have the opportunity of doing. And he said to us afterwards, he said, you know, I didn't know the Bible, and I knew he was quoting from the Bible, but I told him, I had to say, stop, wait a minute. Whatever you're saying, you're talking from the Bible, but there's something wrong with it. He said, Brother David told us, he said, there's something telling me this is wrong. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us, you know, sometimes if you're listening, maybe even on television or radio, and somebody is preaching, Alan, you have this experience, don't you? Wait a minute. It sounds... And then you say, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. That's why it's always good to have the book in front of us. Some people quote from the scriptures and they misquote it. Or they pull a little verse, a part of a verse, and say, this is what the Bible says. Well, you can prove almost anything if you pull a text out of the context. like the preacher was preaching from Ephesians. He says, let him that stole, steal. So no matter where you put the emphasis, let him that stole, steal. He didn't, then he says, no more working with his hand. You know, misapplying it, okay? Just be careful. I remember some years ago in Marsh Harbor, I was at a funeral service. And there was a new man there, a new person there. And the moment he started to speak, the warning light went on. And I didn't know then what group he was from. But the Spirit of God immediately, just, there was a warning light went on. And of course, he turned out to be someone who he was not supposed to be, or said he was anyway. If I put it that way. So the Holy Spirit, listen, he will give us, this is why it is important, even when we read God's Word, when we study God's Word, many times when I pray, I said, Lord, I said, you are the author of the Word. Now, break for me the bread of life. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, I'm going to touch on this for briefly. I mentioned this before, but in the first study. But chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and know all things. And then verse 27, he said, and this, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you or should teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. You hear a lot about the anointing today, preaching on the Holy Spirit. But what is this anointing? The anointing is that we will be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. And in verse 20, he said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That is, you have the ability to know and understand all the things of the Word of God. It doesn't mean that we have all of that knowledge immediately. That's why he says in verse 27, one of the things the cults want to do is they want to teach us something, what, new. Huh? They want to, we've got something new. This is what was happening in John's day. Oh, we've got, wow, you've got to have a study with us. You've got to let us come in. Because you see, we want to teach you. That's what John says in verse 27. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. It doesn't mean that we do not need teachers of the word. It doesn't mean that. Because one of the gifts that is given is that of teaching. Teaching the word of God. But when folks come to me and say, well, we want to teach you something. Well, I don't need that kind of teaching. No. Because what they were doing was saying, look, we're going to teach you something new. We're going to lead you into something different. And it's amazing. Every one of them thinks that you know, they've got all the answers. So this is what he's saying, the anointing. Look at chapter 2 and verse 27. He abides in you. The Holy Spirit abides in us. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you John chapter 14 verses 16 and 17 verse 26, John chapter 15 verse 26, and John 16 verses 7 on through 14. He promises the coming of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Lord Jesus said, he says, I'm going to pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. The word another means one like unto myself. He will be with you and he will be in you. And then he also said, he will lead you into all truth. Praise God for the Holy Spirit's indwelling. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Then the Lord Jesus said, another thing too is he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not only to reveal Christ to us, but also through us, and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John says, because of this, in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, we can understand. Greater is he, praise God, he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's the one in the world? Satan. The devil may be powerful, but praise God, he's not all powerful. He's not all powerful. Now let's go back to chapter 5, because we want to think a little bit of the person of Christ. We thought of the problem of false doctrine. We thought of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we want to think of the person of Christ. And we want to just think about this for a little bit. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. We can discern truth from error. And so he says, whosoever is born, believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. The Christ, the fundamental doctrine of the Christian church. Sad to say that over the years, as I said, there are some that do not deny him, but they dethrone him. They have taken him off the throne. They've brought him down to the level of man. How many people said, you know, oh, yes, he was a good man. Oh, a great teacher. He was a prophet. He was this, he was that. But he's not the Savior. He's not the Son of God. And so there is that dethroning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said before, any group, any person, individual, or group that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but I really can't have any fellowship or even any time with them. I want to tell them. I will let them know. And every opportunity I have, I love to take the Jehovah's Witnesses to Hebrews chapter 1. I love to take them to Hebrews chapter 1. And one of the questions, and you've heard me, maybe some, I've shared with some of you, and this is a good question I asked them. I said, you believe that Jesus was Michael the archangel before he came?
Yes.
I said, well, do angels worship angels? No. I said, well, Hebrews 1, it's impossible for him to have been Michael the archangel because it says that all the angels of God worship him. But then I love to take them to verse 8. And I've shared this, and you know, I said, Jehovah God, Jehovah is speaking of Jesus the Son. He says, but under the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee above thy fellows with the oil of... You know, and you know, the only answer they have said to me, we've got to write off to New York and get the answer for that one. But the writer of the Hebrews begins, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in times past, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who is the express image of his person, the exact likeness of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And so, again, the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go back to chapter 2, and he says, if you deny him, you're antichrist. You're against Christ. You're not real. You're not real. And he says in chapter 2, notice again what he says. This is not just a matter of confessing the historical Christ. I say this again. That he was, but you know, but it's a confession of all that is involved about the Lord Jesus. There are some people who say that as man, he could have sinned. the Bible says, he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Peter says he did no sin. And John says in him is no sin. But there are those who are teaching this. There are those who teach these things. And so they don't so much deny him, they simply dethrone him. But in chapter 2, he says in verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Now you have some people who believe that Jesus is God the Father, and he's also the Holy Spirit. It's called the Oneness Movement. They baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and they teach baptism and regeneration as well. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. As one of the preachers used to say in Marsh Harbor, if you don't have this, you can bust hell wide open. He used to preach in the open air all the time. He was a oneness or Jesus. They deny. They say that Jesus is the Father, and he is the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I asked one time, I said, the Lord Jesus was a good ventriloquist and a good illusionist. Because at his baptism, the Father speaks out of heaven, puts his seal of approval upon him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father speaks out of heaven, the Son is in the water. Then he was an illusionist. Because the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Oh, I tell you, Brother Frank, and many of you can know, you meet all these things. And that's why it's so important that we understand. So, the confession. We must understand this. It takes in the whole person of Christ. That's why John says it's the last days in chapter 2, verse 18. They, and the proof is, he says, they went out from us. But they were not of us. When you see person this and that, and you know, denying the person and work of Christ, John says they're not of us. They're not of us. So it is a confession and acknowledging that Jesus as the Christ, the incarnate, perfect, holy Son of God, who died for our sins, who took our place, and arose bodily from the grave. Some deny this. They say his body dissolved into gases. Didn't arise bodily from the grave. Oh, beloved, it's so important that we, and I believe we need to preach this because there's so much error today being taught. Not just the historical Christ, but all that the scripture says about him. Notice the confirmation. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, chapter 5, verse 1, is born of God. All that is said about him, he is born of God. Now notice what this leads to. Two things in chapter 5. He is born of God, and, he says he is born of God. It's going to lead to obedience. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And some people believe, well, that's the Ten Commandments. That's maybe a part of it. But boy, the commandments of the Lord are in Scripture are tremendous. Plenty commandments the Lord Jesus gave as well. In other words, he said, in fact, the Lord Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he's not talking about the Ten Commandments only. He's talking about the whole Word of God. Obedience is a mark of those who believe obedience to Christ, who believe and have confessed him as the Christ. There is obedience to the Word of God. He said in verse 3, his commandments were not burdensome. You know, the Word of God, when we read it and when we say, wait a minute, that's why it's so good to read God's Word on a daily basis, because you know what it does? Sometimes it brings us up short. You know, it's so easy in the world in which we live, the society in which we live, isn't it? To become, contaminated by what's going on. You know, things that we used to, awful. What's happening today? Television, the eye gate, the ear gate. I mean, those of us who are a little older, who can, that there are things that are being shown and said and done on television years ago, that was a no-no. And it's becoming worse, as Bahamian said, getting worse and worse all the time. And we need to be very careful. That's why we need to keep in God's word, because we can become polluted by the things that we see and hear. Programmed. The language that people use. If you're not careful, because we're hearing it. Certain phrases and sentences that are being, and they become common. That's why the Word of God, we might be obedient. We might do what the Word says. As James says, not just hearing, but doing. Obedience to the Word of God. I've had some young Christians, young believers come to me, and I say young Christians, I mean young believers. Not necessarily in, as far as their age is concerned. So, Brother David or Mr. David, I thought, what does this say here? Is this saying that's right. Sometimes I'll say, is it wrong? I said, the very idea that you're asking, is it wrong? You have a question. Huh? When in doubt, don't. I said, but it's good to see they come and say, I was reading this and I realized that what I was doing or saying, I shouldn't be doing that. I said, no, because the Bible says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Paul said to the Colossian Christians, he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you should answer every man. Now, years ago, if a person cussed, they said he had a salty tongue. That's not what it means. Seasoned with salt means that our words should not only be gracious, but what does salt do? It cleanses. One of the first things. Old remedy of hot water, warm water and salt still does a good job in cleaning up the wound. But salt also, it not only cleanses, salt also preserves. It preserves. And not only so, but you put too much salt in your food, you get thirsty. And that's what, as Christians, my speech should cause unsaved people to have a thirst for Jesus Christ. You see, obedience to the Word, that's one of the evidences that he says here. Notice he says, one of the evidences of believing that Jesus is the Christ is love. We're going to love those who are come to faith in Christ, and we're going to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, of course, there's faith. There's faith as well. Time is going. I just want to share a couple of say more things with you. We in verse 2, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So there's faith in the Word of God. And belief as we have, whoever believes or has faith. There's faith. We see three important words. Obedience, love, and faith. They're closely interwoven in this first epistle. You'll see right through it. Right through it. The fact. And the results, this is the results of being born of God. I'm going to obey the Lord. I am going to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to walk a life of faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so I pray that we will be encouraged to continue to enjoy who the Lord Jesus is. Never lose sight of who He is. Beloved, listen, there's so much to distract us today. There's so much going on. There's so much that is not real. Keep your focus on Him. Don't ever lose sight of Him. You heard the little story, I know. I use it. Of the Sunday school teacher who had a picture one day of, you know, it was a picture, a painting of the Lord Jesus on the cross. It's an artist's idea. And she said, she took it and passed it around to each member of her Sunday school class. She said, now I want you to look at this. And each one took it and looked at it. Went from hand to hand. All the kids sat there very quiet. Finally, it went around to every member of the class and came back to the teacher. She says, now, did all of you see the picture? And one little fella put his hand up. He says, I didn't see the picture. I only saw him. Ah, that's important. Let's not just see the picture. Let's look at him. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this time together, and thank you for these marks of the born again, birthmarks as we refer to them as, but marks of those who are born of God. And we just pray, Father, that the mark of spiritual deportment, the mark of spiritual desire, the mark of spiritual distinction, and the mark, Lord, of spiritual discernment will be manifested in our lives. And we pray that this cardinal truth of the Word of God, of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His person, of His work, will be continually manifested in our lives in a life of love, in a life of obedience, and walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, we just pray that You'll bless us as we separate from this place and the meeting that will follow and throughout the day. Lord, again, we commit ourselves to Thee, and we pray for especially this morning, for dear Sister Ivorine, and Lord, for Ryan and Deneen and all of the family, God, we ask this morning that You just pour Your love, Your grace, Your comfort into their hearts. And all of us, Lord, minister to us today and help us to be a blessing, we pray. So give thanks for the Lord Jesus and all that He is and all that He means to us in His precious, precious name. Amen.